C.S. Lewis has written a great number of books. Most of them we're kind of familiar with in sort of the spiritual realm, but he has also written a book about literary criticism, and that book is called Experiment in Criticism. And in that book, C.S. Lewis talks about how there are, for every book that is read, there are two kinds of readers. There are readers who use a book and readers who receive a book. He says that a person who uses a book goes in there looking for something that is useful to them. This is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's a utilitarian thing. I need something. I need to look something up. I need information. I need ammunition. And so I read this book and use it. The other kind of readers are people who receive a book, who read that book and are open to the idea that the book might change them. That distinction helps me get at least something useful and non-threatening out of the parable Jesus told today. Because I wonder if it is the same with prayer. That there are those who pray and use prayer, and those who pray and receive prayer. Again, I don't think either one is intrinsically good or bad, but there is a distinction to be made between the kinds of ways that we pray. These two ways of navigating the prayer life, those who use prayer and those who receive it. On the surface, this story that Jesus tells would seem to ask whether God only answers prayer if we pray enough, or if God only answers prayer when we irritate God with our persistence. It may seem to say that God only answers prayer if enough people pray about the same thing. Like one of those requests on Facebook or by email that suggests that more postings of prayers will have more effect on God's choices. But Houston Smith says, when the consequences of belief are worldly goods, such as health, fixing on these turns religion into a service station for self-gratification and churches into health clubs. This is the opposite of religion's role, which is to decenter the ego, not pander to its desires. So if we are not to pray about the things that we want to happen, how are we to pray? What is the purpose of prayer in our estimation, and more importantly, in God's estimation? I think this parable teaches us that prayer should be persistent and continual, that we should pray always and not lose heart, no matter how desperate our situation may seem. I think Jesus is telling us to cultivate persistence in our prayer life. Because persistence builds discipline, and if we pray to be united with God, if we receive prayer instead of using it, that discipline of prayer can mold our will to become more like God's, and not vice versa. Perhaps prayer is not to be used at all, but to be received, like the text of a book that changes our lives and our mindset and our attitudes and our very selves. The last 6 months or so, I've been making intense efforts to try to improve myself, especially my health. And in doing this work, I have boiled all questions down to one. What kind of person do I want to be? And I'm trying to discipline myself when I want to do something or say something to ask, does this add to the kind of person I want to be? And this is a very fundamental thing for me. It's not just talking about wanting to be a skinny person or a size 6 person or a 100-year-old person. I'm talking about wanting to be a person who does not run away to consumption of food or anything else, to blot out the noises of fear and insecurity in my head. I want to be the kind of person who resorts to God, who opens to transformation, to compassion, to care for others, and does those things even when I feel threatened. That's the kind of person I want to be. And I cannot get there by praying for more of what I want, only by praying to align myself with what God wants, persistently praying to be there. Prayer, after all, is communion with God, and it shapes us into cells of the body of Christ, persons whose egos have been decentered and who then can be filled with compassion. Now, we don't have to go this route. We can continue to simply pray for what we want. But if we want to be formed into the body of Christ on earth, we have to open ourselves to transformation. Do we want a better world? Then we have to be better people. Annie Dillard, who is one of my favorite authors, says, "You do not have to sit outside in the dark. If, however, you want to look at the stars, you will find that darkness is necessary. But the stars neither require nor demand it. If I want a different world, I have to open myself to sitting in the dark and looking for light and becoming a new person." So, can prayer help us out of this fix we're in right now? Yes, I believe it can, because the difficult place we inhabit now results largely from individuals being focused totally on self and not on a greater good. Asking what kind of country do we want to be comes back to asking what kind of person do I want to be? Walter Brueggemann, one of the great scholars on the prophets, talks about what is carried, the message that is often carried by the prophets. And he says what God teaches us through Jeremiah and Isaiah is this: at bottom, the maintenance of public life depends on neighborly fidelity, and there is no amount of money, power, etc., that will exempt you from having to care about the public good. This fact we have forgotten. And apparently God's people have forgotten it for millennia. We hear it in Jeremiah today and throughout that book. Like these days, those days spoken of by Jeremiah and the other prophets were dark and foreboding. But Jeremiah promises on behalf of God that we should remain hopeful that a new time is coming. But how and when do these times begin to turn toward hope? They begin to turn when one of us begins to turn towards hope. And we do that by forgiving others when we're hurt, when we refuse to pick up every gauntlet of divisiveness and resentment and enmity, when our prayer involves not the vanquishing of our foes, but a unity with God in all persons. It starts to come when we build up the body of Christ rather than picking away at it and destroying it. Now, in the Old Testament, God often called people to be just and loving and merciful. In the New Testament, we have the same admonitions, but they take the shape of Jesus Christ. We are to be imitators of the Christ, the embodiment of the promises of God to a new people, to a new person. So how can we be formed into persons who speak and begin to live out that hope? We do it through prayer, through trying to align ourselves and our desires with the self and the desire of God. C.S. Lewis again says, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me." when we hope with and through God, our hopes formed by our prayers. God's way will not be a yoke or a burden, but will be something we take on willingly and commit to in our behaviors and in our words. And so I return to the question of why we pray. We pray not to get what we want, but to be formed so that we want what God wants. So will we use our prayer, or will we receive it? For me, it starts by asking, what kind of person do I want to be? I want to be the kind of person who not only makes requests in prayer, but who opens herself to be changed by it. I don't want to be just a user. I want to receive. And I pray to receive the willingness to be changed into the image of our living and loving God.